Hey, Bobby.
Hi, Lauren.
Guess what we're talking about today?
I think I know. Is it what's all over your shirt?
Yes, for the audio-only listeners, I have a YouTube shirt. YouTube. Five YouTubes. Missed one.
I am also wearing a YouTube-related shirt.
And that's because today we're talking about... Could you imagine? I was like, Twitter! No, we are talking about YouTube. Because YouTube is creepy.
Very creepy.
And of anybody, I would know. We would know.
Yes.
I would know because I'm fully in it almost all day, every day. And Bobby would know because he lives with it all day, every day, listening to me about it.
I do.
And to also incentivize you, hopefully, to stay toward the end of the episode, I have... bullet pointed some stories that I researched, and oh boy, did they give me lots of stress and anxiety. So
can't
that's
wait.
Fun, right?
Yeah, let's add to your ever-growing stress and anxiety with more stress and anxiety.
Yeah, I knew this episode would do it. I'm very excited for this episode because I have a lot to talk about on this subject, and so does Bobby.
Yes.
Because like I said, we're in it all day, every day. And I'm also excited because I get to tell why I'm such a paranoid YouTuber. Like, I have legitimate stories at the end of this for why. And I tell my friends and family some of these stories. They're like, what? I didn't know that. Well, now all of you are going to. They're real stories of creepy things that have happened because of YouTube. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I feel like the first thing we should address for people who either haven't heard me tell this yet. I feel like I've said a lot of times on my channel how I started YouTube. But... people might have either forgot or missed it or found us through this podcast and don't actually know. Should I?
January morning.
Should I say it or do you want to say it from the perspective of
I'll say it from my perspective.
Because that'll be a new perspective because I'm usually the one explaining it.
So this took place back in late 2012, early 2013. Lauren was looking up a video game that she couldn't remember the name of.
It was Fatal Frame.
Fatal Frame
2.
And she stumbled across a little known YouTuber called PewDiePie.
Who wasn't playing Fatal Frame either. I think they just suggest, see, it's the YouTube algorithm already.
It was already getting you back then.
He was playing Amnesia. It was back in those days, if anybody remembers that.
So, to make a long story short, Lauren was very intrigued by this. She thought it was very cool and something that maybe she could do. We were traveling at some point. I forget where we were going.
I think we were just trying to escape the city to go visit somebody.
And you were playing Grand Theft Auto on your iPad, and you were giving...
which I don't think is something I've ever done since.
Yeah.
Who plays
was it Grand Theft Auto?
Yes, it was.
You were playing Grand Theft Auto.
But who plays on their iPad? I think it was just released, and I thought it was really cool that you could play that on your iPad, so I had to try it.
You were playing on your iPad, and you were giving the reactions that were similar to how PewDiePie was reacting in the videos he had shown me since you had discovered it. This led to you being intrigued to want to start doing it yourself. You were asking me. I kind of gave you the nudge to start doing it, especially after seeing that. I'm like, hey, you're doing it. Just record yourself. Lauren was working in a very corporate job, and she went to school for film, so you wanted to kind of utilize what you had learned, and I would say it's worked out pretty well.
You think?
Yeah, I think it's done. That was a good choice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't regret telling you to do it.
Oh, well, that's good. Even from me complaining about it all. Yeah, we were watching...
I think everyone complains. That's the one thing. Everyone... misery loves company, so everyone likes to complain about their job, so...
That's true.
Yeah.
We'll get into that because there's a whole aspect of that I want to touch on too. But yeah, that's how I started YouTube. And when people ask about how to become successful or how you specifically became successful, I always say, I think it was at the time that I started, it was half luck and timing
and
half hard work.
Absolutely.
So it's like,
I think now, that's most successful people is
I'd say
good timing and hard work.
Like I got in to the YouTube game. I got in when I wanted it to just be fun, first of all. So either way I win. Like even if it doesn't do good, if I had fun, then that's all. That was my main thing. I had a job. So like I didn't need money or anything. I was doing it for fun and to like learn how to be a better editor and learn how to use social media in like a marketing sense. Cause that was like the first time I ever did that outside of college. And I thought it would help me with regular jobs. But yeah, I started when there wasn't many girls doing it. So I think that also gave me a little bit of an edge when I started. I feel like now it's super hard. It's super saturated.
Oh yeah.
Everyone it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are. There's somebody that is like you doing it already. So you have to like, it is way harder. Now I feel like solely you need to have something. You need to like.
You have to stand out.
Yes.
And it's the advantage is that you have a lot of people who've already come before you. So you can kind of learn from what they've done.
Well, that and also now it's not when I started it, it wasn't known. Like nobody knew what that was. Yeah. We had to explain it
when we first explained it to our accountant, he was very confused, but intrigued. And now he's.
Now he gets it.
Now we come to him with certain things. Like, oh, okay, yeah.
Like most people, if I told that back when I started, people would be like, what is that? How do you make money?
You make now, videos online?
Now people come over and they're like, are you a YouTuber? Like, having started when it wasn't a well-known thing and not cool, quote-unquote, is weird.
Yeah.
And then seeing what it's become has been one of the weirdest things.
Some might say in the beginning it was very creepy.
What was creepy?
Just being a YouTuber.
Yes, people just thought YouTubers were creepy. Yes. Like, who sits and talks to their camera for hours? Look
at these self-centered people. They think they're so special.
I mean, it's kind of the same formula as podcasting that we said was creepy.
Yeah.
It's just anybody can say anything and put it out on the internet.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm basically talking to myself for hours every single week.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. You're just talking to yourself with the...
But technically I'm not.
The intent of others listening.
A lot of people, I feel like, don't understand what daily YouTubers do. Yeah. Like what daily YouTube life is like. And there is a meme that's going around right now that's, I guess somebody on TikTok was complaining that being an influencer is harder than a 9-to-5 job.
Ah, yes.
And both of us have a lot to say on this, but I'm going to try and say it as
constructive or as diplomatic as possible.
I don't want people to take this out of context because I think it's, well, first of all, I think it's very generalized. Yeah. You can't say that being an influencer is harder than every 9-to-5 job.
Yeah.
And you
can't say that. Is it easier than being a doctor? Yes. Is it easier than working as a, I don't know.
But what is the word? You have to define what the word harder is.
Yeah.
Is it, like, does it suck? Then yes, a lot of 9-to-5s would fall into the category of sucking more than being an influencer. But harder, like you have to, like if I was doing on my feet, doing manual labor from 9-to-5 all day, that is harder than being
physically
an influencer.
Harder. But
I've had jobs where I was a 9-to-5er and I sat at a cubicle and did maybe 2 to 3 hours of work. And then basically, which is like the big thing right now. That's why I've always felt like sitting in an office from 9-to-5 was the most unproductive thing you could have your employees do.
Mm-hmm.
Like let them take care of themselves a little bit. They will get your work done. If you hired good people, I got my work done in a fraction of the time that I had to sit at that desk.
Yeah. That was one of my big things was when I was working in like the corporate world where we met was that I was so bored all the time. I would get my stuff done, and then I'm just sitting there, and it's like, let's go watch some YouTube videos. Basically, what I did.
So like, was that harder than my job? Absolutely not. Like, I could say with 100% that was not a harder job than what I do now, because now I have I daydream about having a 9-to-5 job sometimes at the end of the day when I'm like, I could just clock out at 5 and nobody's gonna bother. I mean, granted, I was an assistant, so people bothered me even when I clocked out. I've never had a job where I didn't get bothered after, except for when I worked in retail, then I didn't get bothered.
The biggest thing that I can say is if you are a successful YouTuber where it is your main source of income, you are essentially working 24/7.
Yeah, because your life is your job.
You're always on. Anyone that's self-employed that runs their own business is pretty much working 24/7.
Yes.
I think the problem with that meme that went around is that people look on, oh, this person who's recording in front of their computer all day thinks it's harder than my job. And I'm, you know, I'm a doctor or I'm working construction or whatever it may be. And it's,
this job is not harder than being a doctor.
No, no. I think it was just worded improperly.
I think it was worded incorrectly. I think influencers, and I'm covering influencers like TikTokers, YouTube, anybody whose job revolves around being a personality on the internet. I think a lot of us have a complex because people think it's easy or that it's the dream and that you're not allowed to complain about it. Yeah. So to feel better, they basically like try to tear you down, being like, that's not a hard job. Like, how dare you say that it's hard? Like, how dare you ever complain about the amount of time and energy and effort? And I'm like very guilty of this where I'll complain to myself because I'll never complain on the internet except for right now or Bobby. And then feel guilty about it because I'm like how thankful I am to have this job, like this job that so many people want and allows me to be home with Melody and with you. And like, but just because your life is something like, because you have a good part of your life that other people want doesn't mean it doesn't come
easier,
with its own.
Harder, harder. It's just.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard. It's hard. I think that it's like, I don't know if saying it's hard, like, working a 9-to-5 job that you hate seems harder.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be there.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas like if I'm working insane hours in this job, at the end of the day, I still like what I do. Yeah. So I don't feel as
drained
at the end of the day. I don't know. Yeah, I think that whole meme is just like very generalized and that's why it's causing so many problems. I think people think that being an influencer is way more glamorous on a day-to-day level.
Because they see the finished product. They don't see all the back-end work. They don't see the research. They might see the 15-minute video that you made, but how much research? How many hours were you looking in? Then the thumbnail, then recording, then it being edited, and then the back-end, putting it up, tagging it right, titling it right, all that work that goes into it. It's not to say that that's harder than a quote-unquote regular 9-to-5 job. It's still hard. Like you said, it's just a generalization. It's just a bad generalization that people took and ran with it.
I don't know if it's harder. It takes more creativity and mental, I don't know. And you're working for yourself. You're going to create your own problems, but at the same time, that's why I always think to myself, if I load my plate with too much stuff, it's my fault because I said yes to too many things. But at the same time, you always have these voices either in your head or like coming in your emails or who you work with. And they're like, you should be doing this because if you don't, somebody else will. Or you should be doing this because someday this is all going to go away and you'll regret. So it's like you do make your own problems, but you're also led to believe that like you need to do things that you don't actually need to do. And no matter how many times I load myself up with too much stuff, I keep doing it. I keep learning. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do this again. And then a couple months pass and I'm like, well, this sounds like I should do this. And then three other things come up and I'm like, oh no, I did this again. I did it again. But yeah, I mean, daily life is like, it's a very lonely job. I think that's one thing a lot of people don't realize.
Oh, for sure.
Unless you're like Mr. Beast and you have a team.
Like, yeah, you work with a team, or I would say like maybe live streamers are a little different because they're actively engaging with other people.
When I did live stream, it felt more talking social to their chat more actively.
When you're just creating VODs, you're by yourself most of the time.
Yeah, you're by yourself most of the time. Yeah. And then at the end of the day, you have a job that nobody else you know has.
Yeah,
like especially if you don't live in LA or have.
When you work a normal 9-to-5 job, you can go take a lunch break or a coffee break.
I miss having
And you have coworkers. You can go complain. Oh, man. Karen, she's really being a you-know-what today, or this stupid email, or whatever it may be.
Diane's birthday. There's cupcakes in the
room. Yeah, you have an outlet, whereas...
That was the best day.
Yes, birthdays, and I do miss the
free
food.
Or when they'd be like, pizza, it's pizza day. You'd just be like, oh my God, because it was like the one happy thing in your day.
Very easily
pleased. And
thinking
back, you're like, oh my God, that's so sad, but like...
It's just something to break up.
I mean, we could have pizza day every day.
It's not special. It's not special. Because we don't have it once a week or once a month or whatever it may be.
Having coworkers is special.
Yeah,
it is. Just hire somebody to come sit down in my office with me and pretend like they're working. Just I'll do that. Me. Yeah. Should make a whole video of you just pretending to be my
I would also say now that I'm not editing for you, I am not as involved. So we don't have that back and forth like we used to.
Yeah.
So that's definitely
now it's
changed.
Me and Emily.
Yeah.
And editor Emily.
Yeah. But that's different because Emily's not here. She's where she is. And if I was here, like when we, so when we went full time in 2017 and you were making video every day, we were always in it.
Oh yeah.
That was different because we were more working as a team, but it was also the start of it.
A baby.
Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously. So
times have changed.
I think going back to that meme though, I think it was just like you said, a bad generalization, and that I think it does show that people just don't really understand what this job entails, and they kind of get blinded in a way by they see the money, how much money people can make.
Well, it's the money and you own your own business.
Yeah.
But I feel like other people who own their own businesses don't get as much hate as like influencers.
Yeah.
Even though it's the same. If you like, I do the same stuff that you would have to do if you owned any other business. I have to do all of our accounting, our taxes. I mean, we have some people that help, but like the majority of it,
invoicing, all that stuff.
Yeah. Invoicing. Oh my God. Yeah. Email correspondence, taking meeting phone call, like phone call meetings. Oh, and also I just want to say if we didn't touch on something that you wanted to hear more about, I definitely think we're going to have a part two to this in the future.
I think we should also like bring in some of our friends to kind of talk about maybe some more specifics.
Yeah.
There's definitely people I'd like to talk to about content creation.
Once we get more used to podcasting and have more of you guys as an audience, I think it'd be really fun to like have guests on, especially other YouTube friends. And we could talk about this again. But yeah, let me know either in the comments or I forgot if we mentioned this in the first episode, we have a call-in number that is listed in the description of anywhere you are listening to this podcast right now. If you have any sort of scary stories, or if you want to leave questions that we can try to answer in another episode, then feel free to call that number and leave your scary stories because you could be featured in an upcoming episode. So one of my talking points was to ask you what it's like being married to a YouTube person. Oh.
What it's like. It's definitely a little creepy. Obviously, it started out really exciting and, you know, watching the growth and especially when you started and how, you know, your rise and YouTube in general's rise kind of happened, I would say, simultaneously in a way.
Yeah, that is interesting.
It is a little...
It was me. I made YouTube popular.
It is obviously weird when people start recognizing you. I remember we did a meet and greet or like a meetup in Central Park in like 2014, 15, like pretty early
on.
I
had like 100, not even 100,000
and some
subs.
And like this person came from Pennsylvania because they wanted to see me. And I'd been in like a handful of your videos. That was certainly pretty eye-opening. Going to VidCon and doing a meet and greet was also very eye-opening, but I think by that...
I can't believe I've only done that once. I've only done one big VidCon meet.
It's very cool to meet viewers and fans. It's very rewarding. You know, it's great to know that you're, you know, making people happy. And a lot of, I think because of the content you make, a lot of the parents come up and be like, you know, we really like your content. It's family-friendly. It's something they can watch as well with their kids. And you have a pretty broad audience in terms of, you know, age range.
Yeah, we've met all different people.
It's challenging in the terms of how we were saying, you know, it is a hard job. You are working 24/7. It can definitely be a little draining.
Yeah, like I don't remember the last night where I wasn't doing something.
Yeah, there's always...
Well, to be fair, I went on a trip. I went on a YouTube summit. I went to the YouTube summit.
Yeah.
Even my trips are YouTube related, but yeah, it's been,
yeah, it's challenging at times, but it's also very rewarding. So it's not really a complaint. I think it's just,
yeah, it's like, it's not, I'm not complaining. It's more so like, I think I complain more about myself than anything. It's like, why did I say yes to all these things? Or like, why am I letting views and stats get me down.
Yeah, I would say something that you used to do that I would always try to tell you not to do is compare yourself to other people's channels.
Yeah, I haven't done... You know what's funny? I was... Because I'm trying to find somebody who's... And somebody even said it to me the other day that they don't have... There's no channel they can think of that is exact... Like, not exactly like me, but similar to me.
In the beginning, I would say when you started going full-time, that was your biggest, like... I don't know, that something you did a lot that didn't annoy me, but something that I had to like keep being like, stop comparing yourself. You can look at other channels and, you know, look at the numbers. That's another thing that people don't realize is that you're how many, you know, views and subscribers and essentially how much money you're making is pretty public.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird.
And it's like, very weird when family members are like, whoa, you don't have a good month. And it's like, well, you know, I don't see your month, week to week, month to month, day to day, how good and bad you're doing. It, you know, it can be, it's more quantifiable in the sense that you, other people can see it.
Yeah. Yeah, that is weird when people point out, they're like, oh, you didn't do so good. This, so like, oh, I saw this didn't do good. Or they're like, I mean, I guess it's better if they're like, oh, I saw you launch this. How did that do?
Of course,
like,
there's you know, there's like, the good stuff.
When pointing out your downfalls is very weird out, and like.
There's highs and lows.
You're just like, okay, thanks. Like, as if I'm unaware of what happened.
Obviously, you know.
Or sometimes it's like, I did something like I'm not uploading. Like I decided to not upload as much, or I decided to put out a couple of videos that I knew wouldn't do amazing, but like I wanted to put them out. And then people are like, oh, you're not doing as good. Oh, and I'm like, well, you don't. I know, like, no, I'm not doing good. I did something that I knew was going to cause me to have lower views. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's not, I know it comes from like a, I would hope it comes from a good place.
Yeah, it comes from
like,
a good
place. I hope you're not, you're, yeah, for the longest time, I think my mom just always thought my channel was going to like disappear. Yeah. And I was going to
I mean, I think a lot of YouTubers have that fear of like, oh, if I take a break, my channel's going to die. It's like, no, you're fine. You know, depending obviously on your content. Yeah. But
I mean, I think it used to be that way, but now it's gotten...
It's more sustainable.
People are... YouTube values quantity... Or sorry, quality over quantity. And it used to at one point be quantity.
It definitely used to be the opposite way, but
it was 100%. Changed. That's when like series and stuff thrived. Because the more you could put out... That's where like gaming YouTubers got huge because you could easily pump out content without it. But now that there's so much content, it's like people value, and I try to explain this to people all the time, that like friends or just people in general on the internet that complain about their videos not doing good, and they're like, I'm just gonna start uploading daily, or like I see people uploading twice a day still. I'm like, do you understand how much content is on the internet at any given time? Like, even I as a viewer have a problem deciding what I want to watch, because there's people I want to watch. But if you uploaded like four videos and I only have one that I really want to watch, and then there's like one other really good video from another person, I only have so much time in the day to watch. Yeah. I'm going to choose like your one really good video, and then the rest are going to like have really bad views because people just don't, you're not going to, I don't know. It's like, I think some people have that old mindset of like, the more I put out, the more I'll grow.
Well, it's also that grind, like got to grind, go work hard and do this, do that. It's like,
yeah. But also like I tell people this all the time. They like, don't believe me. But when I cut back, I used to do daily uploads. And when I cut back to like four, I think at one point I was doing four a week right after that. And I saw like the most growth I ever had from just doing four videos and concentrating a lot on those.
YouTube is still a relatively new business model in its sense, and it's like all new media, new stuff, new things that come out. It's changing. It's, you know, year to year, it's constantly changing the strategies, what's popular, what people are watching, how people are watching. I mean, now we have shorts that are on there that are between TikTok and shorts. That's a whole new way to consume media, which
it was actually one of my
talking points is that I wanted to like discuss with shorts is that I think it's a waste of time. I know Lauren and I have talked about this, that...
I don't think it's a waste of time. You mean as a viewer?
As a viewer, yes.
I say, I don't think it's a waste of time.
I think you're just distracting yourself. Which is good at times, but when you're sitting in bed for an hour just scrolling through video after video, and it's not like you're watching a series of videos that connect, it's so random, and so every video is so different.
I feel like there's maybe one or two, like I can go through an hour of watching vertical videos and there's maybe one or two that like I kind of remember at the end of it. And that's it.
I don't want to tell.
I'm like, where did that time go? Like what? I could have used that time. But if I sit and watch a YouTube video, I almost always take something away because I just spent 10 minutes on one thing.
I don't want to tell people how to be entertained, but I do think, I mean, I'm guilty of it daily where I'm just.
Yeah, I think everybody is.
Everyone is. I just think as a society, we need to start kind of, and I know we do, we are aware of what we're doing, but it's like a drug that we just, you know, I take my phone and I'm just going to scroll mindlessly for, if it's 10 minutes, half an hour, hour, 2 hours, six. I mean, I know people spend hours a day just scrolling through short form content. And I don't think it's, I just don't think it's good for us.
I think it's, yeah, it's hard. I would say, cause I enjoy making shorts every now and then if I have an idea.
Yeah. It's not to say that they're bad. I just think that just having quick videos that you're just scrolling.
I think it's bad that it's on every platform now. I feel like you can't escape it. Yeah, like if I want to really go to Instagram and look up something, like I literally was on Instagram the other day. I wanted to just scroll, like see what my friends were uploading. And then like, I wanted to search a recipe.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I found myself like scrolling through reels, even though like I was never supposed to be on there. It's just like, yeah, it's tough. It's like, and when you catch your, I finally caught myself and was like, this is not what I was supposed to be spending this time doing.
Yeah. But I think to go back to like your question, what is it like? It's challenging, but it's also rewarding, which is just like being a YouTuber. I mean,
yeah, don't get me wrong. Like, there's way more good than bad of this job.
For sure.
Or else I wouldn't be doing it. Or else other people wouldn't.
It's just, it's not, you know, like any, if people look at celebrities, whether they're athletes or movie stars, and they think they have this super easy, glamorous life. And, you know, like the age old saying, more money, more problems. I mean, the more, the bigger you get, the more influence you have, the more problems you're going to have, the more people you're going to, that enter your circle that you work with, that you're just taking on a lot more. So yeah, I'm very grateful and thankful that we have the life that we have. It's just, you know, it's been a learning experience and we've had to grow together.
I always explain it that it's like super high highs and super low lows constantly. For sure. And there's like nothing that I've been able to do to like negate that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you have help, we have a manager, you have a full-time editor besides me now. And I mean, I know Lawrence thought about trying to have someone do your thumbnails and you have had help, but at the end of the day, you want to have your touch, your control.
It's like the most important thing.
Yeah,
if there's any advice you want to take away from this episode, your titles and thumbnails are like the major thing that is going to dictate how your video does.
And if you're looking to offload work, definitely start with an editor, because
editor is number one.
I think even Lauren was very apprehensive, and then I remember the first video I edited for her when I started, she's like, wow, this is better than any video I've ever edited. So.
Yep. And now I have Emily, who puts her own humor and spin on. That's what's nice too. It's kind of like a collaboration now between somebody else, and you get like a fresh set of eyes on it. That includes like things you thought were funny, but also like she adds things that she thinks are funny. And then it just
For me, I love going camping and it's not something I can do every day. I discovered camping videos. I discovered people recording hour-long videos themselves going camping in the woods, and I love it. Now, I'm sure most people who are listening to this podcast wouldn't want to watch that.
Not me.
But I love it. I can, for instance, when I was working at a desk, I can just have this video up, and it's like, oh, I'm in the woods camping with this person. And it's the same with like...
They said that at the Creator Summit, actually. I don't want to say the percentage because I don't know the exact percentage, but they said it was a really high percentage of people that they polled that said that what they watch on YouTube, nobody that they know personally also watches. It was like a high percentage of content.
Yeah, and there's
because
so many.
Because it's all like niche. Like,
yeah, it's niche, whatever you're.
Yeah, you like watching camping content, but
it's
like
on
a lot
YouTube.
Of your friends might, I don't watch.
No one's, like, if you look at my YouTube feed compared to Lauren's, very, very different. I think also one of the very cool things about YouTube is that you can figure out how to do pretty much anything, how to fix something, how to reset the mileage in your car, how to.
Yeah, I figured out how to turn off. I had like a check engine.
Yeah.
No, not even check. The tire pressure or something in my car, on my old car.
Yeah.
And I know that I had gotten it fixed and I was like, oh, they must have forgot to turn the sensor off. So I looked it up on YouTube and turned the sensor off so I didn't have to take
a whole
trip.
It's another niche thing that these like how to do videos.
Oh, yeah.
They're
setting
on
up
there.
This podcast stuff
I'm sure most YouTubers use tutorials and how to set up a lot of the tech stuff.
I used so
how
many.
To use OBS and your
That's
mics
what,
and all this
people
stuff.
People always ask me, they're like, how do I, like, they ask me for technical help. I'm like, do you know how many way better educated people there are on YouTube.
I will say the one thing, like my dad was an early adopter of this and he realized this quickly that whenever he doesn't know how to do something, instead of like, he just knows to go on YouTube and look it up because it's there. Whatever you need to learn how to do, I would say it's probably a 99% chance it's on YouTube. There's a video I'm gonna look it up right now on how to tie a tie, and I've watched it a lot. I know how to finally, like, I've got it down now, but how to tie, let's see how many views this has. I just want to see. Well, this one is 47 million, 100 million.
Oh my God.
44. I think that's the one I used to watch. Yeah. So there's videos. So this is kind of like a good, whatever you like, whatever you want to do, go and do it on YouTube because you don't know who's going to watch it. And it may not blast off with views, but there's videos on how to tie a tie. Sorry. That has hundreds of millions of views. So
I was itching my nose.
Yeah. But it's one of the very cool things about YouTube is that anything and everything is on there. On the flip side of that, though, you can fall down rabbit holes of very weird, creepy things sometimes, then waste a lot of time, or you're learning. Yeah.
That's what I watch now. I watch video essays, they're called, on like the downfall of this YouTuber.
Oh, yeah.
Or
yeah.
The scam of this person.
I was just watching one of those actually.
They always pop up.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good and a bad thing, I think, when you get sucked into some random thing, a rabbit hole, but it could also be a good thing because you could learn more about something that you're very passionate about. So
that's like my favorite rabbit hole that I go down every now and then is like the MLM rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah.
Like multi-level marketing is so interesting.
Yeah. Conspiracy theories on YouTube are, albeit very entertaining at times, but also very creepy because you don't really know how true they are. This was something that was going on a couple of years ago, was when they weren't sure how to like advertise to kids on YouTube. Remember that whole debacle?
Well, targeted they weren't sure ads. How because there's like regulations.
Correct. And I was on the sense that it should be allowed because at least they're getting advertised stuff and products that is for them. They're not getting like a heart medication or insurance commercials or whatever it may be. At least they're getting something that's for them. It's better than junk or something that's inappropriate.
Well, I'm just going to step in here as devil's advocate. The reason that you can't advertise to children is because they don't have the mental capacity to understand if something is good for them, bad for them, or just in general, or if they actually need something. So like,
yeah.
But to be fair, I remember I was advertised constantly to on Nickelodeon. So why can channels like that do it?
Yeah, I think it's
I think you can advertise children specific stuff, but it has to be like a certain amount of time. You can't run a certain amount of ads or time or like.
I think it's something that's definitely going to be evolving and changing even more than it has. That goes to my next thing is targeted ads. I know we all go on Instagram or other platforms and we get targeted with ads, but those ads are what we want. So I think it's.
Yeah, you like targeted
ads. I like targeted ads. I would much rather be.
I'm the same. I like targeted ads.
I've bought many things off Instagram that have been advertised to me because it's very specific niche products that apply to me. I'm never going to see a camping gear thing on TV. It's never going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I just listened. There's a really good podcast that I think Mr. Beast was on. I forget which one. He's been on so many, but there was a podcast that he was on talking about like how slow TV advertisers are to spend their money on influencers. And they basically said that for the amount of money that like most old school brands are spending on cable TV advertising, they could instead advertise with so many different influencers and hit their exact demographic that they're looking for, but they just like refused to try it or change.
A lot of industries are very apprehensive and slow to change. That's why, excuse me, if you can get ahead of that curve or you can start YouTube in 2013 as opposed to 2022, you get in before everyone tries to do it. It's like
we're talking as if. It's if there's like a brand person listening to this, they're like, yes, you are right.
But it's true. I just think that, I mean, you can feel as though it's an invasion of privacy, which I think it can be seen as that. But ads make they make this world run. Without advertisers, all this entertainment that you have wouldn't be what it is unless it's directly supported from people. And that's
just like our podcast being supported by advertisers.
Exactly.
Thank you, advertisers.
But without them, you wouldn't get this. So yeah,
especially actually, and our sponsors of our podcast are even better because they are putting their faith in, I hate the word influencers, YouTubers.
Content creators. That is a much better word than influencers. You are making content.
Yes.
You're not an actor or actress. Well, there
are, I would label some people as influencers. I feel like if you are just having a lot of the Instagrammers, like where you're just showing your life and you're like, hey, also this. Like you're not really making content. You're just like, look how beautiful I am.
Yeah,
like,
I think YouTubers are content creators. Live streamers are content
creators. Yeah, if you're creating like entertaining you're creating content.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's different. But
yeah, I think that's just the main point I wanted to say as far as that is that I see a lot of people, especially if you go to live stream, they get an ad like, oh, no. And it's like, be thankful that you're getting like this quick short ad that probably appeals to you in some way, as opposed to you having to pay directly for a subscription or to support the creators. Cause like I said, without these ads, without companies spending money, you wouldn't have this. So just understand that it's a necessary
evil.
I wouldn't say evil, but it's just a necessary part of the entertainment business. You have to have some sort of revenue that funds this. And that's where ads come in. So, you know, if you get an ad that you like and you can afford the product or service.
And I will say that any ads that I ever run on my YouTube channel or on our podcast, like they run through. We don't just agree to every ad that comes to us or sponsor that comes to us. We like actually look into it, make sure it's something that either we would use or like and that you guys would use or like. So just wanted to say that as well, that we're just not like
blindly just advertising.
That's the
stuff.
One good thing about content creators, too. I feel like if you have somebody who actually wants to vet sponsors, it'll be better off for your audience anyway, because like, I feel like I know you guys pretty well over the years and what you like based on what I make. So then I would also hope that whatever sponsors I also have, I think you guys would like, and thus why I'm sharing it. All right, before I move on to the serious and pretty creepy stories that I have revolving YouTube, I thought it'd be nice to say who we watch on YouTube besides me, of course. Me. Could you imagine? I was like, all I watch is myself.
Just watch my own videos. That's how those views are so high.
Yeah. I have a whole list.
Wow.
Because people ask me all the time and I can't think off the top of my head that quickly. So I had time to think about this. But my number one is probably my weird obsession person that Bobby always has to hear, which is FoundFlix.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think I touched on in the first episode of this podcast, but it's basically a guy who has like, I don't know, he sounds like a normal guy. He's like, hey, everybody, I don't know. Like, he's not a skit. He doesn't have a creepy voice. He's just a normal guy. And all he does is go scene by scene and tells you about a horror movie. And then at the end of it explains like the ending and any other hidden symbolism.
Yeah.
So I basically feel like I get to watch a horror movie without being scared. And I just get the bullet point.
Well, you get to watch it by listening because he's describing it as opposed to.
He's describing it. He'll show clips every now and then, but most of it's listening. So I usually listen to him while I'm getting ready.
He has a very nice way that he talks.
Yeah. Bobby's heard. When I'm cooking, he makes like funny jokes here and there. If he heard of anybody that I was listening to, he'd be like, what the heck? Like, yeah, if you are interested in scary movies, but you either don't have the time to watch them all, well, I like I'm advertising this guy, or you want to just listen because you're too scared to watch it by yourself, FoundFlix, I highly recommend. He actually just posted a new video. I got to we also listen to Philip DeFranco. I feel like every night while we're eating dinner, just to like catch up on
for a
what
long
happened.
Time. Listen to him,
for years. I even listened to him like before I like in college, before I even met you. But back that was before he was doing a new show. So we listened to him, Cody Cohen, Noel Miller. We listened to a lot. Watch on YouTube. Then I have the three, Danny Gonzalez, Drew Gooden, and Curtis Connor.
Yep.
They all have similar styles of content, which is just funny commentating on something ridiculous. Oh, I've been listening slash watching a lot of Moist Critical, aka Penguins on Penguin Zero. And going with that, also Mogul Mail. I feel like they both do the, like, which is Ludwig's. They both talk about just like industry stuff going on. Mm-hmm. Kara and Nate.
We got really into them.
Well, after we had Melody. Yeah, after we had Melody, we really got.
Yeah, and during the pandemic, because they had so many like travel videos that was really cool to watch.
If you guys like travel content, just wholesome, fun travel content, watch Kara and Nate. They're good. Then I have RT. Yeah, because you might be asking yourself, Lauren, none of these are gaming creators. I watch a weird array of gaming creators. I watch RT Game, Let's Game It Out, and Call Me Kevin, which are all pretty similar. Like, they don't really use face cam much, and they center around, I feel like, if anything, they're the most similar to my content without face cam, because they take a game and they do something really weird in it, and that's basically what I do. So I like watching them because they crack me up. The Try Guys,
yep,
who are going through a rough patch right now that we're not going to touch on, but still love the Try Guys.
Oh, yeah. I remember when we met Eugene at one of the summits, I think, when you had the shirt, and I remember talking to him.
Oh, yeah, that was the first
one. When he would, like, rank all the beers, and we were saying, like, man, I love that video.
We've met Eugene, and then I've met Keith and Zach. They're all super nice. I did not meet...
forget. Ned?
I did not meet him, and I don't think I ever will now, but that's besides the point. Still love the Try Guys, and I'm actually... hopefully still going to be in a video of theirs coming up soon, if not out already. Jenna Marbles, I still really miss.
Yeah.
But I used to watch her all the time.
Definitely miss her videos.
Colleen Ballinger, I watch her vlogs a lot because she has children and is a YouTuber and vlogs about it. And she's the only one I really know that is real with it, which is refreshing. And then I just put lots of video essays, which I said already. Like, the downfall of this YouTuber or the scam artist of whatever. Like, I just love video essays on weird things.
Yeah, I watch a lot of Destiny 2 videos from various content creators. Houndish, or as Lauren likes to say, Hamish.
It sounds like Hamish.
He's just kind of like does recaps of just stuff going on in the game. My name is Bife as far as like the story goes. And then all my camping guys, Joe Robinette is probably the person I watch the most when it comes to that, but there's a lot of other people that I've come across throughout the years. And then it just kind of goes with what I'm into at the time. Golf, I got into golf, so I get a lot of...
I feel like you don't have like set creators you always watch.
It's, I mean, there's just some, like I said, like Houndish as far as Destiny, Joe Robinette as far as camping goes. There's a lot of other people. I get chiropractic videos because apparently I like to watch that.
It's still so weird. I know that's like a thing,
yeah,
but I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah. I'm trying to scroll through my feed to just see if there's... I don't use my subscription feed. I wonder how many people... I feel like a lot of people don't use their subscription.
I do.
I used to watch a lot of music videos on YouTube. I think that's how it started for me, was I used to... Or not music, live.
Interesting.
Live. Oh, concerts. Concerts. Yeah. Not as much as I used to, but that was kind of how I remember like starting watching YouTube videos, was finding like concert videos and whatnot.
We're getting creepy.
Oh, creepy.
So I narrowed it down. So I'm going to preface, there's three stories that I have. And it's funny because every time I would tell somebody one of these stories, I assumed that everybody had knew about it because it was like public. So these are all like real things that happened and were in the news. So I assumed everybody had heard about it, but apparently people haven't. So I'm curious to know if you guys have heard about these instances or not. There is a side to YouTube that, especially for people like me who have anxiety, it causes even more like fear and anxiety, because with being popular on YouTube, you obviously also become more known in real life, and you never... So I'm getting ahead of myself. There's three main reasons why I believe YouTube is a very creepy job and or platform. Number one, which is the first story that I have here, is that it helps form parasocial relationships. And what that means is that somebody has some sort of feelings or relationship with somebody else without them knowing, if that makes sense.
So a one-way relationship, essentially.
Yes, it's a one-way relationship. So I could be making videos and somebody could be watching it hundreds or thousands of miles away and feel like they have some sort of relationship with me, either romantic or friend or any sort of relationship. Like, you feel like you know me, even though I don't know who you are and I've never met you or know nothing about you. So it's a one-way relationship. And that happens a lot with social media people specifically, because they feel more relatable and more reachable.
Yeah.
I feel like that. I mean, it's happened with famous people throughout the years, obviously, who have stalkers or people who think that they are dating them, but aren't. But I feel like it happens even more so now with social media people. But basically, the scariest bit of that is you have absolutely no idea who's watching you. Like, you put this stuff out on the internet and you hope in your head you have this idea of who you're making content for, but you don't know who's actually watching you. Which brings me to the first story. I'm going to kind of look at my phone because there's some details that I need to make sure I get correct about this.
Alrighty.
But the first story is about the house break-in of the slow-mo guys, Gavin Free and Megan Turney. A man named Christopher Gills, armed with a shotgun, drove 11 hours from his home to this YouTube celebrity couple's home. So 11 hours. I'm pretty sure when I looked at more, I couldn't find the exact details, but I'm pretty sure this guy, like, didn't take breaks or anything. He literally, like, got in his car,
drove straight there,
wore a diaper, and just had this in his head that he was going to get to this couple's house, like, no matter what. Like, he wasn't going to stop. He wasn't going to do anything. He was just going to go. So he drove 11 hours from his home to Gavin Free and his wife's home in Austin, Texas. And his intention was solely to kill Gavin Free, who's the husband and one of the stars of the slow-mo guys. So in the early hours of January 26th, Gills shot through a glass door and entered the couple's home. I believe I read it was about like 3 a.m.-ish. Upon hearing the gunshot, Turney and Gills hid inside their closet and dialed 911. So the cops took about 10 minutes to get there. So they were in their closet hiding from this man that they had no idea why he had broken into their house or anything at this point. They had to hide in their closet for 10 minutes. While doing so, this guy Gills, being unable to find them in the house, returned to his car and attempted to drive off. While still in the driveway, however, Austin police arrived and ordered him to stop. In doing so, Gills shot his gun while in his car, and an officer returned fire. Gills died from his injuries, but the medical examiner was not able to officially determine whether he died from police gunfire or a self-inflicted wound.
Wow.
Now, the craziest part, the more detailed part about why this all happened was the guy Gills, who drove there, he apparently had developed an obsession with Meg Turney, Free's wife, and had notes on his phone that included one that said, "I want Gavin Free to die alone with no children."
Shoo.
So those are the main points I wanted to make sure I got correct. But from I was like upset when this story first came out. It gave me chills because this was 2018. We were doing YouTube full time already at this point. And like, that had been my biggest fear, was making sure that nobody knew where we lived. I mean, it's kind of impossible, I've learned. If somebody wants to know where you live, they can do it with celebrities. They're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
But that's why we have a really good security system and a lot of other things to make sure God forbid that ever happened. But like, this poor, I remember he went on interview, like, they took their time, obviously, but like, they said it messed them up so much that,
yeah, for sure,
he did an interview where he said if somebody could go back in time and asked him if he wanted to do YouTube, knowing that that instance would happen again, he said he wouldn't have done it. Like, that's how badly it messed him up.
I can't blame him for that.
And I was like, and that hit me hard. I was like, oh my God. Like, so yeah, that was a real thing that happened. A guy became obsessed with that's the craziest part. Not even the person who was like mainly on the internet, like not even Gavin, who was a part of the slow-mo guys.
His
wife. They had seen his wife and got obsessed with his wife and had it. He wrote like manifestos that they found. Sheesh. And he had it in his head that Gavin didn't deserve to be with her. He deserved to be with her. And his whole plan was to go there, kill Gavin, and then basically kidnap the wife and take her with him.
Yeah, that's be with him. That's absolutely terrifying.
And like, that's even like, and a home break-in alone is terrifying if you know somebody's coming in to like steal stuff from you. But if somebody's breaking into your house with the sole intent of killing you, like not taking anything, that's horrifying to me. Because at least like if somebody's coming to your house to steal stuff, your hope is that like you can go hide while they're doing
that. Yeah, they're very lucky that they were able to hide.
Yeah.
Because
and that he didn't.
You would think someone who just drove that
11 hours
and seemed determined to do something crazy like that would.
Yeah. Well, he was obviously unhinged and maybe assumed they weren't home. I don't know. I have no idea.
I mean, that's absolutely terrifying. It's I mean, this can really happen to anyone. I mean, anyone can like.
I mean, this another story. It's not on my list because she started as a YouTuber, but she became a famous like singer, Christina Grimmy.
Grimmy, yeah.
That was a rough one too. I remember exactly where I was when I found it. That was in 2016.
Yeah, that's a little bit more than creepy. That's terrifying.
Yeah, she was for anybody who doesn't know, she was a YouTuber who became a singer. And when she was doing a meet and greet, some random guy came up and just shot her because he was just like an obsessed fan who I think wanted to be with her.
Yeah. I mean, that's been, you know, like John Lennon that happened too and other people. And
so that's why I feel better when I go to meet and greets. Well, for one, that's why I don't just have meet and greets anymore. I'm not like when we did that Central Park one, we were just going for it. I mean, that was back before any of this happened when we did that. But if we have a meet and greet, it's usually like has a bunch of security and stuff beforehand, just because incidents like that actually do happen.
Yeah, there's a lot of messed up people out there who have these crazy, I don't know, problems and issues that lead to disastrous things.
I feel like even more so social media people or like content creators or influencers, like I can't tell you how many times people reach out to me and they're like, I wanted to kill myself. I was going through depression. I like was going through a rough patch. Like there's so many people that are watching your videos because they're going through a rough patch and you never know like what that entails or what kind of bond they're going to form with you because you're helping them through a difficult time that maybe may have like mess them up somehow and like you're there like
people just
savior. I always tell people like if they do tell, because I've had instances where there's another creepy side. I've had instances where people have like sent me like self-harm videos and photos. I know other YouTubers that have had this happen and like there's nothing we can't pinpoint where they are. All we can do is like send them information for a contact number that they can reach because we're not licensed people to help you. Like, but yeah, it's a scary part of being a YouTuber that I don't think a lot of people realize. And there's a lot of times we've sent out like invites with our address on it or invites with our phone number or just information about anything. And I remember one time I was like, should I have told people not to post anything about it? And Bobby's like, no, who would do that? And all of a sudden, like my cousin accidentally posted a photo of the invite with our address and everything right online. So I had to tell her to take it down. But it's like the average person doesn't think like that. Like I'm constantly thinking we need to keep as much stuff.
Yeah, I think our family has realized how things have changed and they don't realize like all the extra precautions that we have to go through.
Yeah, they think it's fun. Like we'll go out and they like get excited if somebody meets us. And it's like, I love meeting you guys.
But you never know who we're meeting.
But I don't know who we're meeting and I don't know what their intentions are. So
I'm always like assessing things as best I can.
A visual.
Visual. I
cleared them. Visually cleared them.
What is it? Ocular pat down.
An ocular pat down.
You know, I think I've become a lot more aware of situations and I'm always looking for people to recognize Lauren. And I definitely see it's usually just, you know, young fans that are excited, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But you never know. You never know who it's going to be. So it's
like we've gotten unmarked packages, not unmarked, but like packages from people we don't, that there's no name or anything.
And that was my friend.
Then we found out it was his friend, and I was freaking out for like a day or two because we randomly got things
God.
Like, we didn't ask for.
My best friend sent us wedding gifts.
Yeah.
And it was like a sushi making kit
and like a hammock
and like something else. And there was no, we had no idea who it was from. And we're like freaking out. And my friend's like, oh yeah, that was me. Sorry. And I'm like, you don't understand. Like, I don't, you know, expect you to understand that, but when we get random stuff, we just like, oh crap, does someone know? And yeah, it's definitely a very creepy aspect to YouTube and just social media in general, is that you're putting yourself out there more and people can just interpret or misinterpret,
yeah,
you know, the relationship or the intentions that you have. You know, you want to have a close bond with your viewers, but...
Well, that's even like, we also try not to post... if he's away, like there was one time Philip DeFranco that we said we watched, his wife, he tweeted out or something that he was in Vegas, I believe. And that night, coincidentally, somebody threw a brick through their home window when his wife and children were at the house and luckily like set off the alarm and they ran off. But she said like, it was way too coincidental that the one night he's gone and said that he was going to be gone overnight. That happened. Like, that could, but like,
yeah,
it's kind of coincidental.
There's just a lot of extra steps.
They probably thought nobody was home and maybe thought they could break in.
I mean, I'm sure regular
celebrities. But that's why I tell you all the time, if you go overnight somewhere, don't ever say like how far you are or like if you're overnight or like.
I just have resolved to just not, like, if I come home, I'll post some stuff, but I never, now I know. Like, it's always, I know it's very easy for me to know, but then if like a friend tags me in something, then it's like, oh no, I start worrying about it. But yeah, it's just other, these are like the unintended consequences.
These
or
are the things that
results.
You don't think about being a YouTuber.
Yeah. So these are truly the creepy aspects that can be creepy, but can also end up being terrifying. So
yeah, it's like the cool. Yeah. They're cool. Cause you're like, oh, people love my content. They want to say hi. And like, it's cool to be recognized, but at the same time, it's like, especially if you have anxiety or child now, it's like not as fun as you thought it once would be.
Yeah, these are just the unintended consequences that have arisen and evolved from just, you know, the social media and YouTube.
But point number two is you tend to get blindly hated by people. And I don't want to generalize. Like, obviously, there's some people online that suck and you can hate on them. That's like, there's people I don't like online. I don't spend my time hating on them because I feel like it's a waste of time and mean. But of course, there's people online that I'm like, oh, I hate that person. Who's that guy that hates? Andrew Tate?
Yeah,
like him, sure. Yeah. But oh, yeah, even still, don't send him hate. Like, it's not help. It doesn't do anything.
No.
Anyway, but there's a lot of times that just like existing as a YouTuber, when you get to a certain place, is like you get hated on for no reason whatsoever.
It's just jealousy.
Most of it's like somebody being jealous that like they wish they had that job and they don't, or maybe they're working a job they hate, or maybe they think you, I don't know,
don't
look better.
This,
yeah, look better than they do. Like just something that you have. Most of the time, it's something that you have that they're upset about, and instead of like, like trying to fix that within themselves, they feel better by just like bashing you.
Yeah,
that's why I always tell people when they're like, how do you deal with hate? It's like, well, I don't go around leaving hate on people, and it's because I'm happy with my life and myself and whatever. So I feel sad when people spend their time going around on hating on me. I'm just like, I know I didn't do anything to like provoke you hating me. So I know it's something that's going on with you and that somehow makes it easier on me. I'm just like, yeah, it's not you. It's not me. It's you.
Yeah. It's your way of justifying it, knowing that it's not your fault.
Yes.
It's this person has something that's going on
in
their life and they're taking it out on you.
Yeah. Which is always sad. I always try to be like, I hope you figure out whatever's making you unhappy.
Yeah. I mean, you see it all the time on social media. Yeah. It's just,
but it's the same thing about the 9-to-5 meme thing we were talking about. It's like, or people just think it's unfair. Like it's unfair that you get to live this way or have this job.
And a lot of people are like, oh, I worked hard too. Why don't I have your success? And it's like, that's the world. The world's not fair.
It's not.
Don't take
fault.
It. Yeah. Don't take it out on the people that have success just because you don't. You know, try to figure out how to be better.
Yeah. But what comes with that also is like when something happens, like the story I just said before, it's kind of this like aura of, well, you should expect that,
yeah,
or deal with that because
comes the territory,
which is weird because as a YouTuber, specifically like somebody like me who started before all this was like a thing. Like when I started, nobody was like famous for being a YouTuber. Like people were like known, but it wasn't like a big thing. So it's kind of like I didn't choose to like be this,
be famous.
Like, and even if I quit tomorrow, I would still be known.
Yeah.
For a long time, if not forever, for some people who watched me forever and like know, like I know YouTubers that I watch that don't upload anymore and I still know who they are and what they look like. And I search them every now and then to see where they're at. But like, yeah, that's weird too. When people like when celebrities got their nude photos leaked and people were like, well, you know, it kind of comes with the territory. It's like, well, no, yeah, like that you're basically saying they deserved it.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. They don't, it's not a reason.
It's basically like asking a girl, like, what were you wearing?
Yeah, it
like,
doesn't justify like that, the means just because
somebody else decided to do something evil. Yeah. It's like justifying it. It's like, well, you know, you should have had a normal job. Sorry. But yeah, so story number two isn't as long, but it's about, which I don't know if you know more about this than me, but it was the Roman Atwood cyber stalker situation. So I'll just read what points I have first. But so after taking a hiatus from YouTube, Roman Atwood and his wife Brittany revealed that multiple individuals targeted his family with serious harassment. The stalker's actions included calling, and by the way, these people have children, like young children in their house. The stalker's actions included calling in a bomb threat to a family funeral, changing the family's mailing address and car insurance policy, and sending pictures taken by their home security system to the family's cell phones. Like basically screenshots of what they're doing being sent to them, like some sort of horror movie. The stalkers also sent the family text, Discord messages, and voicemails threatening bodily harm and death, even after changing their personal information multiple times. I don't think there's a resolution to this one. As far as I know, I think they said they caught the guy. I thought they said they caught him, but they weren't allowed to say
anything.
They
caught him, they moved, they did, like, I think the FBI was even, like, stopped making content, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, I know the FBI got involved.
Yeah.
Like,
well, yeah, I mean, there was serious threats and invasion of privacy and
stuff, yeah.
It's like swatting. When people swat, it's like you're gonna get caught and you're gonna face like the consequences. It's good to see that they're taking it more seriously.
Yeah, I think they're still waiting for the FBI investigation and everything to wrap up. And then I thought that was the last video I saw on it where they said that they'll share more information once they're allowed. But that's crazy. I do remember hearing a video where like he said the cyber stalker would even like control their thermostat.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a house with small children and they're controlling the thermostat while they're sleeping at night. Like,
it's terrifying. Roman
Atwood is like the most, one of the most tame YouTubers, I feel
Yeah.
Doesn't he just do family vlogs?
You mean family vlogs and he did pranks and stuff and it was just jealous. Creepy people that just
I don't think they've said the reasoning, but I would assume,
well, I mean,
if you're just blindly hating on somebody you don't know that much,
yeah,
that something's going on.
Yeah, I mean,
again, it's probably some sort of parasocial relationship, but like the opposite end, like you have a negative relationship with that person,
yeah,
that has done absolutely nothing to you technically.
Yeah, I think it just goes, I mean, it's a whole nother topic to discuss, but just the mental health of people in the world and how social media is probably making it worse, in that you have these people who are obviously mentally unstable or going through something or have issues, and they find this outlet of hatred to try and, you know, they see someone who's up high and they have such success, like, oh, I'm going to bring them down by causing them all this pain. And then whether or not they get satisfaction of that, that's
just
disgusting.
It's another part of like, you're the reason why my life is bad.
Yeah.
Which I also, yeah, is a whole nother category. I feel like is a thing that like a lot of people try to turn on one another instead of like the actual things that are causing problems. Instead of blaming like the actual source of a problem, they're like, it's this person's fault.
Yeah.
They have this and I don't. It's like, no, it's usually not the individual's fault. It's something else, but that's a different topic completely. But yeah, it's weird. The hatred part of it, the blind hatred part of it, is weird. I could understand being hated because I did something wrong or said something wrong.
Yeah, if you said something directly.
Even that, I feel like, is just a little insane sometimes, depending on the thing. I know people that have gotten dragged down so low for saying something.
Yeah, it's like people getting canceled and they made a mistake and now, oh, their life's over. And yes, sometimes it's justified when they've committed crimes and done horrible things to other people, but people make mistakes. People say the wrong thing or whatever it may be. And it feels like nowadays, you know, the court of public opinion is just to destroy people. And because it goes back to that.
It's the same thing.
It goes back to,
I'm better than you.
Yeah, so people, they see successful people and they're like, oh, they messed up. Let's get them. Let's take them down. It's going to make me feel better now that I see someone who had it. And now they're back. Like, it's like I said, misery likes company. So they want to bring, people down with them. And it's just, like I said, it's just the way social media is. And we got all this social media and YouTube and live streaming. And now people, we don't know how, our society just doesn't really know how to handle it. We don't know how to deal with it. And it's just a learning experience. And we're just trying to figure it out as we go. There's no real, there's no real like rules and laws.
There's no rules.
Everything is kind of developing now. I mean, if you look at swatting, like when it used to happen, people could get away with it more. It wasn't taken as seriously. Yeah. Now it's, you're screwed if you swat someone, and not good.
And my third point and final story is that YouTube tends to be a creepy place because there's a certain sort of there's a word for it, but like that they're owed something. If you make content and you believe it, you're putting in the time and the effort, you feel like you should be owed views and people watching you and money. And like, I personally know a couple people like this or knew a couple. I don't think I currently know anybody that feels this way, but like I have seen and or known people that have tried like doing YouTube or found success and then over the years refused to change and lost their success, but like are bitter about it and blaming other people, like blaming YouTube, blaming whatever.
Yeah.
For their not doing well. When like from the outside looking in, I've always been a person that like, I can kind of look at somebody's chat because I've been doing it so long and like the process of, like, I feel like Mr. Beast is a perfect example. Like he's obsessed with the process of being a YouTuber, what for it takes to be a YouTuber, the algorithm, stats. I feel like I'm like that, but definitely not to his level.
No, like, obviously
I do it more as a hobby. He does it as like his life.
You have a team of two. He has a team of like
2,000
plus, who knows?
But I've gotten pretty good at like looking at other people's channels that feel this way and see it. And most of it comes down to like people not wanting to change, which I guess, but at the same time I don't because even though I haven't wanted to change, I do if I need to.
It's like that delusion of grandeur. You think you're better than what you're actually making or... You just, it's a natural thing that people don't want to change.
Yeah. And I'm not even going to say that I'm not like this. I definitely am. There's been times where videos do bad and I'm like, this isn't my fault. This is YouTube's fault. Like, how dare they?
Oh, yeah.
What did they change?
Yeah.
And then looking back when I have perspective later on and I'm out of that emotional mindset, I'm like, oh no, like. It was just the timing, like just people weren't really on YouTube.
Yeah,
that
it might
time.
Not have been your fault, but it wasn't other
YouTube.
External
it
factors.
It wasn't somebody else's fault. Yeah. Like it
was a combination of things. Usually that's what it is. It's maybe your content wasn't right for that time or maybe it just wasn't that good and other factors played a role in it as well. But
yeah, which leads, I think most people heard about this, but who knows? So I'm going to dive into it. Which is the YouTube campus shooting. If you don't know about this, you're probably like, what? When did this happen? This also happened in 2018. That was the same year that the slow-mo guy... This was later in the year after the slow-mo guys incident, which is crazy. I don't know what was going on in 2018 with YouTube-related stuff, but... So on April 3rd, 2018, at approximately 12:46 p.m., a shooting occurred at the headquarters of YouTube in San Bruno, California. The shooter was identified as 28-year-old, I am going to butcher her name. Do you want to try or do you think I'll do better?
38-year-old Nassim Najafi Agdam.
Yes. Who entered through an exterior parking garage, approached an outdoor patio, and opened fire. Agdam wounded 3 people, one of them critically, before killing herself. She posted content on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube as a vegan, activist, and fitness personality, where her YouTube channel included strange workout video clips. I do remember looking at her channel after this occurred, and it was weird.
I recall that.
It was very weird. It wasn't like normal workout video clips. I mean, nothing bad, just like very strange. Graphic anti-animal abuse videos and vegan cooking tutorials, which I just wanted to point that out because I'm going to touch on that later when you find out the motivation behind this. So before the shooting occurred, Agdam's family reported to the police that Nassim was missing. And according to her father, she hated, in quotes, YouTube, and told him that YouTube had been censoring her videos and stopped paying her for her content. I'll touch on that in a second. She was angry, he said, and the family was worried she might be traveling to the company's offices, which is even crazier that they told the police, like, hey, we think our daughter is going to attack somebody at YouTube offices. And the police were just like, yeah,
we'll look into it.
We'll look into it. And it still happened a couple days later. Police believe Agdam was motivated by perceived discrimination by YouTube toward her channels. She complained about the company on her website, writing that YouTube filtered my channel to keep them from getting views and that the company had demonetized most of her videos. Okay. This also just brought back memories of mine where there was some people and specifically some YouTubers, like not big YouTubers, but smaller to mid-sized YouTubers that were, do you remember this? They were,
I think so.
They were not justifying what she did. First of all, I just want to say luckily nobody at YouTube died from this. There was 3 people shot. All of them were wounded and survived. Except for her, but that was self-inflicted. But a lot of people were justifying this on Twitter. And I remember I had to get off Twitter because I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like they were saying, not that they understand or that anybody should go shoot somebody because of it, but that they understand where her hatred and anger came from. And I was like,
that she was like bringing attention to the issues. And it's like, yeah, that's not the way to do that.
Yeah.
That's not constructive.
Also, her channel had, which every YouTuber should understand by now, if you have graphic, I don't care if it's animal or people, if you have graphic videos on your channel of an animal or person
graphic content
being killed or hurt, it's graphic content, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know if, because this is going to be going on YouTube and we're talking about it, this might even get flagged. I understand the rules of YouTube now. But again, that's just like, grandeur.
Delusions of grandeur.
Yes, that's what I was trying to say before. It's like, because you see all these other people being successful and because you think you deserve to be successful, if you're not, it's not your fault for something you're doing, which not always, like, it not always is, but also it's not owed to you. You're not owed this. Just like if you're a really good sports player, you're not owed to be like in the NFL.
That happens
NBA.
All the time. People
it happens
get,
all the time.
People get injured. Someone else injures you and you're done. And it's like, it's unfair, but that's life.
Yeah, or even you're really good and you just never got the chance to like go show what you were made out of, like in college or whatever. Like it just, it sucks, but it's not like somebody else's fault that you didn't get there. I mean, sometimes maybe if you got
it,
hurt.
It kind of is, but it also, it's not like you can just directly blame others for your.
I just don't understand the mindset of like even trying to justify somebody going into a building and being so angry that they try to kill somebody who has an absolute, and on top of it, people who were out to, employees who were out to lunch that had absolutely nothing to do with what is actually happening with the algorithm and stuff.
Well, like, I mean, that's just what crazy people do in general is they can't solve their problems. So they think they can go attack someone who's linked to it and that will get their problem,
their attention
or whatever it may be. It's just,
I mean, I know it's all mental illness.
Yeah.
And it's issues that need to be addressed somehow, especially in this country, but Yeah.
Yeah. This YouTube has...
It's like nobody wins. It's like, I feel bad for everybody because I know even the people who did like evil things, most of them, if not all of them, have some sort of mental thing going on that went unchecked. And
yeah.
Well, this episode got dark.
It got dark right there.
I knew it was gonna.
But it goes to show. I mean, there's a yin and yang to all things. YouTube is great for all the content and that it provides and all the good that it does. Charity it makes money for, but then it's got some evil, dark, creepy sides to it where you have people like that who think.
Yeah, I think you have to be a lot tougher of a person to do this job for the long haul than I think most people realize.
Oh, absolutely.
You need to be tough enough and strong enough to like stick to the hours that it entails to like be successful for the long haul.
It's not a job that you can just coast.
Yeah, you can't coast.
You can't just coast. You can't just do the same.
There's portions of time where you could coast if you find that niche and you know you can like do.
Sure, but eventually.
But eventually you have to change and pivot. Yeah. And then that takes a lot of time. You have to try, if you want to be good for the long haul, you usually have to like add in some other sort of revenue source or diversify in the event that something happens, like, and your revenue changes
like
or
anything
shuts down.
You're not going to grow as a person in a channel if you're not willing to change and adapt and evolve and grow. I mean, that's just life and everything. It's
You need to be, I was going to say, you also need to be strong enough and hard enough to take criticism and not let it affect you mentally, which is also very hard. And a lot of people can't do that. I also have days every now and then that one will get to me for a little bit, but then I move on.
Yeah, you get a million nice comments, but it's always that one bad comment. We're like, what? What did they say? They didn't like it. It's like,
And you have to be strong enough to not let the anxiety and stress overtake you when you think of things like, oh, somebody could like come to my house uninvited with possible bad intent. And even the good, like there's even people who don't have bad intentions that go to YouTubers' houses.
Yeah.
And it's just scary.
Where like
it's
parents will bring their kids and stuff. And they think,
oh my God, I'm so glad I haven't heard about that happening in a while.
Yeah.
That was like a thing going on in LA where parents were just bringing their kids to YouTubers' houses. It's like, and then demanding that the YouTubers say hi to them or do whatever they wanted because it's their children that are the reason why they're successful. And it's like, yes, your audience is a huge, like a big factor of why you got to where you are and why you have this job. But like, it doesn't mean that you're like not a human anymore and you don't have, you can't have your privacy or, yeah, it's weird. It's a weird world.
It is truly a creepy world. YouTube is creepy.
Yeah. But yeah, hopefully you guys got to see both the good and the bad side. Did we go through enough good points?
We went such
a low at the end of this episode.
No, we talked about
bad.
A lot of the good stuff.
Even though that's the whole point of this podcast.
No, we definitely talked about the good stuff.
And yeah, should we sandwich it in? I love getting to entertain all of you guys and get to make really cool content because it makes me really happy. I'm glad that I have a job where I could be with Melody as much as I get to be, even though I'm working a lot around that still.
Yeah. And even from like a viewer perspective, like I love that all of the niche things that I like are
there. I know. YouTube's like the main thing I entertain myself.
Oh, it's definitely
all day, every day. So it'd be interesting what my life, like what I would be doing otherwise without it.
Yeah. It really is like has provided, I think most people probably now, I feel like a majority of people probably get their entertainment from YouTube.
Yeah, well, I know
at least the younger generation.
There was a poll, the number one brand among Gen Z was YouTube.
That was number one. Sounds correct.
And I was like, yeah.
I mean, I don't see anyone else taking that over. Google is such a dominant beast because of its algorithm and its advertising, and it just has so much. And I know other companies have tried and are going to keep trying to get a piece of that pie, but YouTube is what it is because it's a beast. You can't knock it. it's a beast.
But I think that's a good place to end. I feel like this is a longer than usual episode, but I knew it would be because I have a lot to go. I still have more I could talk about.
I feel
about
like we kind of just scratched the surface of like the intricacies.
That's a good place to start.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get some more.
Yeah, let us know what other things you would like us to talk about in the future. And maybe we'll, involve some guests that we can have on and talk to them about it.
Yeah. like I said last time, please make sure that you review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening to us. Please review us 5 stars, especially if you're still listening right now and you made it all the way through. That must mean you like us enough. But make sure you follow us, subscribe, yeah, and all that good stuff. And as always, we'll...
No, and remember...
Oh, I was about to do my YouTube outro.
And remember... Then you say, right? Or what do I say? Remember everything. No, what was it? I thought it was...
We forgot our...
Do you remember what it was?
That you said...
What do you think it was?
I guess and remember things creepy. I don't know. I'm going off what you said.
And remember, Lauren, everything
is creepy. Thank you.